It's the D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James, and by my side, as always, is that B-A-double-D-A, double crooked letter, badass Billy Gunn. Together we are the New Age Outlaws, and you're listening to the VOC Nation, and if you ain't down with that, we've got two words for you. Suck it.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Frisco, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Hey, guys. Welcome to another edition of Talking Sass. Thank you guys so much for joining me. You know what? I have two superb guests coming on today. Of course, the second one is Dan Murphy. He is going to be giving us our monthly pro wrestling history lesson. He is an author. He is a former PWI writer. He is the historian to go to on anything wrestling, and I'm so glad to have him be a part of the show. But before we get to him and our first guest today, let's talk a little bit about social media. Don't forget to go and follow me on social media. You have Twitter and Instagram at SassySteffi. If you feel like supporting the show, make sure you go to patreon.com/sassysteffi. Lots of amazing content that comes out there weekly that is exclusive to my Patreon members only. And tiers start at only $2 a month, so go subscribe today. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, or if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button there as well, because you never want to miss a second of Talking Sass. And in fact, on YouTube, make sure you hit the bell notification. That's important because just last week I put out a special edition Talking Sass where I was talking about the Browns pregame show. So I hope you guys do that for me, okay? Now on to today's guest. You have seen his work everywhere. He's been on pretty much every WWE programming imaginable, Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views, everywhere, including Total Divas. And if you're watching on YouTube, you happen to see his work on every single episode. That's right, I have Rob Schomburger. He is WWE's resident artist, and he is going to tell us all about his art and everything that he has done and some amazing stories. But of course, only he can tell you them, right? So let's get started. Here's Rob Schomburger. Hey guys, what's up? It is Talking Sass, and I am sitting here talking to WWE's resident artist, Rob Schomburger. Rob, how's it going?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, definitely. Thank you for taking time out of your vacation to come on the show, because I know you're busy still working. I see a lot of artistic stuff there behind you.
Yeah. What's behind me is done for the moment, and I'm taking time off until about, you know, January 4th, handling, you know, social and that stuff, but otherwise picking back and breathing for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, God, I can't remember what year it was, maybe 2015, I think, when I was in Kansas City and Miss Natural brought me by your studio, and that was we had met, and your studio just blew me away. It was so beautiful. It was in downtown Kansas City, and just this, you go up into this just crazy amount of WWE portraits everywhere. And I was just like, I'm in heaven.
Yeah, that was two studios ago. But yeah, I loved that place. I didn't really want to leave, but they turned it into an Airbnb.
Oh, what a bummer.
Yeah. So now we got a house, and I took over the attic, and like when it's nice out, we have a sunroom, and I'll work out of there, which is gorgeous.
Yeah.
But yeah, I miss that place too.
Oh, it was beautiful. And that was so fun. I was glad that Miss Natural was like, hey, we're going to go see a friend of mine. And I'm just like tagging along. I'm like, sure, no problem. And then we end up, and I was like, why didn't you tell me this is awesome?
child.
Oh, but she's a... Yeah. I miss her. I don't think I've even seen her since then. We just had different schedules and everything going on. And
right.
Crazy. So being home with COVID and everything, obviously you said you work now in your attic, and when it's nice out, you're working out on the sun in the sunroom. What has it been like? I mean, has your job as an artist slowed down, or are you still keeping consistent?
I'm not on the road with WWE, of course. I would do about a show a month or so, about average on that. So obviously I'm not doing that right now, which gives me more time to work. I'm still doing 6 days plus a week. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's given me more time to work on the art itself, which I kind of enjoy. Like, and the whole making of the art thing, that hasn't changed at all. And my online sales are up, so I'm busier on that front. It's, you know, just shuffling things around.
Well, that's great that at least you're, you know, able to keep going. And like, I know with COVID, a lot of people don't want to go out. You don't have to go anywhere unless,
right,
I guess, paint supplies or something like that. But I mean, even now you can have them shipped to your house, I'm sure.
I do.
The less interaction with people right now is probably the better.
Yeah, I'm a hermit crab anyway. My former studio mate actually jokes that I've been training for social distancing for about 18 years. It's just pretty accurate.
But see, you're such a personable person. So, I mean, I find that hard to believe. I mean, obviously, I've only met you a handful of times. I've seen you at a couple of WrestleManias, at the Access, where you're painting these just beautiful, usually, how many hours do you put in on WrestleMania weekend? I know it's like
the
days worth.
I don't know, 500. I try to take the mindset that I'm going to work as hard as the WWE staffers that are in the area where I am. And if anyone knows, those people don't sleep. So that means I don't either. You know, because they're all trying to match Vince's schedule, which, you know, he famously sleeps like 3 to 5 hours a night. So the rest of us do that too, at least during WrestleMania.
Well, I've been a part of WrestleMania weekends, obviously not with the WWE part of it. Well, at least not professionally with the WWE part of it. But I know even like on the other side of things with the independent shows that are running, the conventions that are going on, the shows that are going on, just, and depending on what city you're in, it's just mayhem and no one's really sleeping.
No.
Whatever days you're there. Because some people, I mean, WrestleMania weekend usually starts a week ahead of time for WWE staffers and some of the wrestlers and stuff like that. But like usually Wednesday, Thursday is when fans really start pouring into these cities. And it is a nonstop party, especially in party cities like New Orleans. I've been a part of. New York City, I've been a part of. It's
nonstop.
Yeah. And it doesn't stop for like, well, at least for WWE. I know it starts that week before, like I said, and go at least a week and a half usually for you or for them.
Yeah. Because there's also the whole thing of traveling there before and traveling back, and whether I'm driving there or flying, you know, and planning for all that. And then the last few years for my exhibit, I staff it as well. So having to take care of all my staff as well and coordinating all that, it's wild. What little hair I have left is going to be gone after a couple more of those.
Well, let's go back to the beginning and let's talk about what got you into art. So when you were a kid, I'm sure probably taking art classes was one of the things. Is that what sparked interest for you to do art? Was going to school, or was it something else that sparked your imagination?
It started with comic books. I got my first one when I was 8 and like spent the weekend redrawing everything out of it and just knew like, this is what I want to do with my life. And everyone thought it was a phase. It was not. I knew that I wanted to make something that would make other people feel the way that art made me feel. And for a long time, you know, chasing comics, and then eventually grew into fine art, and from there, finding the subject matter of wrestling.
Now, let's talk a little bit about that, because like I told you earlier, I did a real, real deep dive here on the internet, and I was really shocked at the amount of information that I found. And for somebody being a hermit, there's a lot of information out there on the internet. So when you got interested, okay, so there's kind of two parts here I want to go into. So first, I guess what I read online is saying that CM Punk really inspired you to start doing the portraits of the WWE stars or any other wrestling.
Yeah, around then, like the vibe around him, and he was very artist friendly. One of his shirts was designed by Jill Thompson, a really famous comic book artist who's become a friend of mine since. But like seeing that he was so receptive to that, and also the fans that were into him were into the kind of stuff I was making as well, so it really felt like a natural fit. Like when I started the project that I'm still working on, the Champions Collection, where I'm painting every world champion going all the way back to George Hackenschmidt, the first one I did was Harley Race, because I'm a Kansas City guy. Harley was Kansas City. And then Punk was the second one.
Amazing. And now that's definitely something I want to talk to you about, because I read that you wanted to do all the world champions. And at that time, whenever the article was written that I wrote, there was 208. Obviously, that has gone up a few since that time.
Right.
But how many have you completed?
I think I'm over a third of the way through. It's slowed down a little bit because of my WWE responsibilities. Mm-hmm. But it's I view it as a lifetime project anyway. So if I did them all now, what then, right? Like, do a new one whenever they pop up. But I think soon I'll start getting back into those. They're bigger paintings, and so when I was doing those, I had a bigger studio.
Yeah.
Having a slightly smaller one now has held me back on that as well.
That's understandable. Now, going back into with what got you into the wrestling portraits, I read also that JR is the one that discovered you at a Make-A-Wish Foundation fundraiser?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. I had met Jim a year before at the Dan Gable Wrestling Museum for their pro wrestling weekend that they do. Met him and Jerry Briscoe and stayed in touch over the course of that year. And WWE was coming to Kansas City for SmackDown. And I thought this would be perfect to do a tie-in Make-A-Wish fundraiser event with WWE being in town. And I reached out to Jim about it to see if he could pass that along to WWE. He was still with the company at the time. And I just wanted to get a tweet, you know, like that's all I was after. And Jim went the extra step without me saying anything and called Triple H's office. And was like, hey, we need to be working with this guy. And Triple H's right hand, a guy named Ben Brown that does all the archive. Like anytime you see the tours of the warehouse, that's Ben.
Okay.
He had been familiar with my work. We'd met at the CAC that year. And he's like, oh, yeah, Rob's great. And so they call me and they're like, hey, we're going to help you out with this. And Triple H tweeted out about it. It was great. But they're like, we also want to work with you. And we had a department head meeting about all the ways that we can work with you. And here's a multi-year plan we have. Are you interested?
Wow.
I'm like, yes, I am. Send me the details and I'll get back to you. And they've been fantastic to work with. It's mostly the people on the WWE shop side. But also, you know, over the years, become friendly with pretty much everyone in the company. Like Vince has one of my paintings hanging up in his conference room now. It's wild.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I read also your paintings are in private collections. They're at WWE headquarters. When you watched WrestleMania this year, you saw all your paintings in the PC Center. You have one up, or maybe multiple, at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame with Dan Gable Museum. You've been in commercials. You've had your paintings featured on toys, collectibles. You do artistry for posters for movies. I mean, your artwork is everywhere. And even Talking Sass, your own sample of your work on display at all times.
Yes, ma'am. It's crazy. WWE has opened up so many opportunities for me, you know, through everyone they work with and the audience that they have, the super passionate wrestling fans. Just completely changed my life in a purely positive way. It's mm-hmm. wonderful.
That's amazing. Cause like I said, this photo actually somebody got for me. I think it was my birthday or something, and they sent it to me, and I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. If Miss Natural would have told me when we were going to hang out that we were going to be going to see you, I would have brought that with me.
Oh.
So that could have been personally by you. Cause I mean, it's always been one of my, obviously I'm a huge Sensational Sherry fan, and that's always been like one of my prized possessions that I have, because one of the things with your art that I find is you don't like, it's the essence of the person. Like when I see Sensational Sherry in this picture, I feel how she was and like that attitude and just the look on her face and everything. And like, I love that. And that's how I feel with all of your artwork. Like I can feel the way that person is portraying their body in that particular artwork that you did.
Thank you. That means a lot. One, because I like you personally, but two, that is exactly what I'm after with the art. Like when I started with this, it was because I realized no one else was doing serious fine art of pro wrestling. Like if there was, it was making fun of it. And or it was ironic, you know, and I didn't want that. I wanted art that made me feel the way that it is to watch the shows, to be there live and watch these amazing athletes. And so with every piece, it's not just about making it look like them. It's about getting that feeling across, that energy is 100% what I'm after. So hearing you say that unprompted is awesome. Thank you.
No problem. I mean, that's honestly how I feel. I mean, like I said, just this Sensational Sherry. And I mean, I think when I wrestled, I tried to portray her as well with like this attitude. And like I said, just looking at this picture, you can see the attitude that she had. And it's just, it's amazing. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. And like, for that to be what you actually want to come off, I think that's fantastic that, you know, your work does that the way that you want it to.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you.
So more that I want to talk, what is your actual process? Like, how do you sit down and determine which wrestler you're going to work on and what the theme is going to be around that photo or that painting actually?
It's a matter of who I haven't painted in a while, or if it's someone that I have never painted, that's getting attention. It's difficult because this is the sole way that I make my money.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and like, I'm not on WWE salary. I don't have a guarantee.
Right.
It's by what sells and I get a percentage and that's it. And, so sometimes I do have to make the decision of like, okay, there's someone new, but they haven't really connected with the audience in a big way yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I could do one of them, or I could do a new one of Asuka and make sure I'm paying my rent that week.
Yeah.
You know? So those kind of factors go into it, of course. But also, sometimes I'll put people in that fit it in because I'm passionate as well about what they're doing, and I want to help them, you know, give them another tool that they can use. And then I'll, you know, I watch the shows the way that fans do. I want to get that same sort of energy so that I can then convey that in the painting like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll play around with just like, okay, sometimes I'll also look at, is there a way I want to do a painting that I haven't in a while that would work with a certain subject matter, and I'll pick someone that way. You know, like the way that I do a Bray Wyatt painting is completely different from the way that I do a John Cena one. you know, like I say with that, you know, if I'm going to do an Undertaker painting, it's the same way that if you were to do a Batman drawing, you can do whatever. But if I'm going to do a John Cena, it's the same way that I would do a Superman, right? Like, you do that person.
Yeah.
Although, even now with John, like, I can push it a little bit in different directions just because he's become that living pop culture person.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Yeah, he's really expanded his repertoire in the last, like, 10 years, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And you know, just even recently, that Funhouse match at WrestleMania, like, that opened up a lot of possibilities for me. Like, I'm watching that, like, okay, one, I really enjoy this, and two, wow, a lot of new possibilities here.
Yeah, you could, that match, like, even for me, like, I sat back watching this going, this is fantastic. Like, it's giving you the John Cena that everybody's always asked for that WWE never wanted to give you.
Yeah. But it was also like an art house short film. It was wonderful. It's cool.
But, well, speaking of, who gives you, like, the most, like, when you think about creating something, who is the person that you just get, like, this creative flow going and it just, it's unlimited at that point? Is there anybody specific?
The general answer is anyone that already has an over-the-top persona. Mm-hmm. Then, like, it's okay for me to push it even more. But the one person that I probably am the most inspired creatively that fits that bill as well as Asuka. I feel like I can do my very best work with her, and no matter how far and crazy I push it, it still is very natural to her. And then she's just so wonderful to work with too. yeah, Asuka.
Asuka, that's great. Now, you also do your YouTube series, Canvas to Canvas, and you have done so many artworks there. How is that also doing your show? Because you're featuring all these WWE wrestlers. It's a YouTube show. How does that work for you? Like, can you feature other people on there, like your other paintings and your other artistic works?
Well, that show is on WWE's YouTube channel, so it needs to be whoever is under their umbrella and good graces and Legends contract or whatever. And, you know, same thing with the music that's used on there. But that's, like, another one of those awesome things about working with WWE is they just give me that slot. I shoot, direct, edit the whole thing and just submit it to them and they put it up. And I can probably count on one hand the number of times where they've come back and just said, like, hey, can you tweak this thing? And it's normally like a music cue. Like, they're like, okay, you used Edge's old song. Can you use his new song instead? That kind of thing. And yeah, I don't know that they've ever rejected one. It's just a wide open platform they give me, and some of the I think overall we've had over 13 million views on those. Sometimes these numbers are just staggering, and it's a much younger audience too. Mm-hmm. So now I'll have people that, and I've been doing it with them so long, I think 7 years now, that people will come up to me that are in their younger 20s and be like, man, I grew up watching your stuff, which is wild. Or the best ones are the ones where they say, like, I got into doing art because of watching your show. And, like, I get that from people all around the world, which is tremendous. Like, most people can't name a lot of artists. Like, most lay people, if you say, like, name an artist, they're probably going to say one of the Ninja Turtles, Picasso, and Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's me, too.
Yeah, there's, of course. I know you. Of course.
You know, now there's, yeah, millions of people that, because they're into wrestling, they find my stuff, and it opens up all new doorways for them.
Well, when you say that people are inspired by your art, what kind of advice would you give to an artist, whether they want to pursue wrestling portraits or just another version of art for themselves?
The main thing there, and I guess it's like all around life advice, which is do it all the time. And every time that you do a new piece of art, it's informed by everything that you did before, everything that you learned from every other thing that you've done before that. What went right, what went wrong, what happened accidentally that you can replicate in a different way. And it's not about like making the one perfect piece of art. It's about learning from everything you've done before so that the next thing that you do is that much better.
That's beautiful. And like you said, that could go for life advice for anything, really.
Yeah.
That's great. My niece is actually, she's huge into anime. And in probably the last 2 or 3 years, which she's 14 now, she's been doing her own anime and
oh, like, wonderful.
Her like grow and stuff. Like last year for Christmas, she actually painted my husband as a Super Saiyan.
Oh, cool.
And I gave it to him for Christmas. And it's so cool. Like I have it in my bedroom. Like there's not a lot of things like I display in my bedroom, like, you know, artwork, like personal artwork. So like for her, I'm like, this is amazing. This has got to be in our bedroom because she did such a phenomenal job and she keeps growing as an artist. So
oh, that's super cool.
When we have this up on YouTube, I'm definitely going to be like, make sure you go and check this out. She's not big into wrestling. Her brothers are, but she definitely loves art. So I'm going to have awesome. Her. Maybe I'll have her even contact you because I think
please
be awesome.
Any young artists out there that want to reach out, I'm here. I love passing along anything I've learned because people did that for me, mm-hmm. and I know how much it meant to me. So, you know, I recognize the position I'm in now and being able to do that for others for sure.
Awesome. So now with Canvas to Canvas, you obviously say is on WWE's network, not the network, but the YouTube channel. And you've also been on like a plethora of their programming. I mean, like you said, you've gone to a couple, like you used to when shows were traveling, obviously. Once a month, you would be at one of the shows. But I mean, you've been on Miz TV, you've been on Total Divas. I mean, do you know that's about to happen when you're in the backstage areas, or are they just kind of surprising you at those moments?
Every time it's like a camera is right there in my face. the Miz and Mrs. one was the only one where it was kind of set up. Uh-huh. But otherwise they're like, oh, Rob's here. Let's do something with Rob. And like the wildest one, the craziest one was when I was on with Steph and Triple H and the other Steffi.
Yeah, trust me, she is the Stephanie. I will take it back to you.
I was painting in the back, and I saw that like they started setting up lighting, and I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna have to tear everything down, you know, like just because that's the nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie sees me there, and obviously it was her and Paul that brought me into the company. So she comes up and she's like, you know what? Instead of the walkthrough segment that we were going to do, we're going to start it with us talking to Rob. And it was like 5 minutes before going live. And like, this wasn't a pre-tape. This is live, right? And it was August, and I had been out front painting for the crowd before they were let in. And it was really humid out and really hot. And I had my like backstage sticker on my shirt. Mm-hmm. And normally I have a blazer that I'll wear in the back, but I had so much going on, I didn't bring it in with me that day. Mm-hmm. Rookie mistake. Like always be TV ready. And this is how I learned it, because right before the camera turned on, she said, oh, take that sticker off, because they're worried about people duplicating them, right? Awesome. So I take it off, and there's a perfect sweat circle. All my shirt. And of course, like all the staffers that were behind the camera, as soon as like the segment was done, they were like, it looks like you have a mustard spot on your shirt.
Oh, no.
but you know, like, that speaks to Steph and Triple H so much that, like, they changed that right at the last minute, literal last minute. And that was the thing that led into that big tear apart between Lesnar and Undertaker in the ring. And it was here in Kansas City, so my wife and my mom were there in the front row and got to, like, see it up on the screen. It was tremendous.
Well, I'm sure that your family, just, like, any time that you're going to be at a WWE event, or, I mean, I met your wife at some of the WrestleManias that we have seen each other at. I'm sure that they still probably, like, every time you're on the TV, they're probably just, like, takes their breath away because it's so cool just to see their husband or their son up on the TV screen.
At that specific one, my wife was, like, screaming as loud as she could, "That's my husband!" And the people next to her were like, "Cool?"
But it is cool. Like,
yeah.
I think what you do, I mean, you do something not a lot of people in their life can say, that they do a job that they love, that they're passionate about, and get paid to be a part of what they love. Like,
yeah.
Not only do you love to paint and be an artist, but you love the WWE and you love professional wrestling. So to do that and be able to make a living, I mean, that's got to feel good in the soul.
It does. And no one had done it before me.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, the strength of my work, which, boy, I look at the stuff that I was doing 7-8 years ago when I was getting my foot in the door. I'm like, wow, like, I feel like I'm only doing the good stuff now, but that's every artist, right? Like, you know, I'm sure if you look at your early matches versus your later ones, but you're like, I kept getting booked somehow. That's how. And I also learned early on to not correct people when they say that they like something. Like, you know, however people connect with the art, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But yes, it is humbling. And there was an Access where it was, I think, the first time where I was inside of Access instead of out in the hallway. Like, I paid my dues. I was literally set up out in the hallway for several years.
New York in the hallway.
Yeah. But it was the first time I was inside, and, like, when they open the doors to Access, it's a madhouse. It's like a zombie movie, people just running everywhere. And I had just stepped away to the restroom and was walking back right when they opened the doors, and someone pushed me to the side, didn't see me, and I hear them yell, "Get out of the way. I got to get to Rob's booth before he sells out."
I didn't realize it was you.
Well, yeah, then I walked up and took his money. but that was, like, the moment where it really felt real to me.
That's fantastic. And what a funny story that the person that was moving you out of the way was going to your booth to buy before you sold out of any of the prints that they were looking to get.
Yeah. I don't take any of this for granted. And, like, around town, when I was still living downtown, there'd be times that I'd be just, you know, walking over to get a burrito across the street, and someone stopped, like, screeched on their brakes in the intersection, rolled down their window, and I'm like, oh, what's happening? And the guy just points and says, "I love your art," and kept driving.
That's, like, the best feeling, though. Like,
and it was someone I had no idea who it was. It was a total stranger, and they just recognized me on the street. And that happens every now and then. Like, I'll be checking out at Target, and, like, someone will, like, look at the name on my card and then look up at me like, it's him. Or I had a few weeks ago, like, broke our poop scoop for our litter box and went to the pet store to get another one. And the guy was like, "Wait, you're that, like, wrestling art guy, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "I love your stuff." I'm like, "Great. Where do you have your pooper scoopers at?"
Have you had any, like, besides obviously the few stories that you told here, do you have any, like, crazy stories, like, anything that's just, like, completely, like, whack of people that you've met?
Well, I mean, that I can say publicly. I mean, this is pro wrestling.
Only me and you, right?
Well, okay, here's a fun one. I was at a house show backstage, and when I'm working backstage, it's to get, like, print signed that we then sell on the WWE auction site. Mm-hmm. So I had a bunch of them set up, and I was around the corner, but still visible. And it was when Sami Zayn and Neville were still like doing the house show loop before coming up to the main roster. They were still NXT guys. They come in, and I had been told they would be there, so I had Prince ready for them. And they're like, oh, wow, we have Schamburgers. And they're like, they're definitely going to be calling us up. And, like, that was, like, an internal thing. Like, getting something from me is, like, right up there is, like, one of the real things for them in turn.
Oh, that's a fantastic story.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, after that, they totally no-sold it around me. Like, they couldn't. I'm sure they were embarrassed that they acted like fans in front of me.
No, I could understand that excitement because, I mean, you're busting your ass trying to get onto the main roster, especially if you're an NXT talent, and you're just hoping that somebody is acknowledging the hard work that you put in. And then you're doing the house show loop, and then you come and you see that you have art of them, which, of course, is ultimately flattering anyway. But then you're like, oh, wait, maybe, okay, I'm on the house shows. I got this going on. I must be doing something right. So I think that would be, like, the best feeling for them, too, you know?
Yeah. You know, several of the people that we've become, like, actual friends with, my wife and I, notably Charlotte and Natalia. Natty is every bit as wonderful as people tell you. She is just tremendous, like to the point that when our cat passed away a couple years ago, you know, she texted Katie and I to say, like, you know, pass along her condolences. Like, she's that level of a good person.
She is, because I've met her, gosh, a good amount of times too. And she's just the ultimate sweetest person in the world. Like, what you see is what you get with Natty. And it's amazing, because that's not a lot of people that you see on TV, unfortunately.
No, it's not. but with her, yeah, the very first time I was backstage and the WWE staffers, it didn't have a clue who I was, didn't care. I was the latest guy they had to babysit, you know. And they were, like, you know, very much, like, kid gloves on with me around the talent. And, like, Natty pushes the guy out of the way. She's like, Rob, it's so nice to finally meet you. Like, gives me a hug. Talks about where she had gotten an Owen Hart painting from me, like where she had it hanging up in her house. It showed me a picture of that. She's like, and let's take a picture together so that I can put you out on Twitter. And then the first time she met Katie, like, they had communicated on social for a few years, but Katie was with me at a Hall of Fame. We were in the back working there. And I was, you know, Katie was real nervous. Like, everyone's around us. You know, the McMahons are there. Arnold Schwarzenegger was there. It was nuts. And, but, like, Katie was the most nervous to meet Natty. And I was taking her up to meet Natty, who was inducting Medusa that year. And she was just splendid the way that she was looking. Like, she said that, like, they actually had to, like, sew her into the dress. But she, like, pushes right past me and gives Katie the big hug. She's like, Katie, it is so nice to finally meet you. And, like, Katie just fell apart, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the most wonderful.
Yeah, when I met Natalia, it was actually, side note, this story. We were going to the gym, my husband and I, and it was the day Monday Night Raw was in Montreal. And he was like, get up, we got to go to the gym. I'm like, it's like 7 a.m. I don't want to go to the gym, you know, like, I don't want to go right now. But he got me up out of bed, and I wasn't thinking anything about anything that day. You know, I was just like, okay, yeah, we're going to Raw later, whatever. But like, we get there and I see John Cena and Nikki Bella, who were at that time together. And I'm like, shit, man. Because I'm wearing it was a T-shirt. I'll never forget this because I was so embarrassed of wearing the shirt that particular day. It was a promotion that I had worked for fundraisers for animals. And usually it's some kind of, help to help them out. So I was wearing this shirt, and it was an In Your House logo, but it said In the Doghouse because it was a promotion for them. And for dogs that time. And I was like, I'm wearing it. It's the exact In Your House logo, bright yellow t-shirt. Because, like, after John Cena and Nikki, everybody started coming in, and I was like, oh my God. So I'm like trying to like do my jog, but I'm like trying to keep my shirt covered at the same time. I go into the locker room and I'm starting to get, you know, put my things away, get ready to take a shower, whatever. And I turn and I just see Natalia standing like a couple lockers down from me. And I'm like, at that time, I had never met her. I had, you know, we follow each other on Instagram and social and all that kind of stuff. But I was like, oh my God, it's Natalia. So I'm like, hey, Natty. And she's like, hey, I follow you on Instagram. And I was like, yeah, you do.
That's her.
She sat there in the locker room and talked to me, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes before she went out and did her workout. We got a picture and everything. And I was just like floored. And then every time I've seen her since, she's just been an absolute doll. Like, remembers you.
Yes.
Gives you, like you said, the biggest hugs. She is a sweetheart. Love Natalia.
100% the greatest. And and people don't realize, like, one, just how good she is. But, like, everything she does behind the scenes, too. You know, like, she's helping out so many of the younger talent. You know, because she's a wrestling genius and you know, just grew up in it. She's forgotten more than most of us will ever know. Yeah. And like at house shows, sometimes she's even helping the girls do their makeup. I mean, she's the best, the best.
Yeah, I've never, I mean, obviously, if you watch Total Divas, you might hear a few negative things about her, but I mean, but when you meet her in person, I don't know anybody that could tell you a negative thing about Natty. And there's a few people like that in the business, you know?
Yeah, but yeah. Not many. She stands out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And you said that she had purchased an Owen Hart painting from you prior. And I was actually, another little tidbit that I found on the internet that I thought was interesting. The first wrestling world champion to buy a portrait from you was David Arquette.
Yeah.
how did that happen? Like, what was that?
I think I had tagged him on Twitter that I was working on this project. Mm-hmm. And it was the Kickstarter I was doing to start off the Champions collection. And he like retweeted it and he's like, and when you do mine, I'm buying it. And so of course, you know, I did that real soon. And we still haven't ever like met in person. It's like come real close. Like there was a Mania week where we were supposed to meet up, but you know, like we said, that's crazy.
Yeah.
when I sent the painting to him, it was in a bigger box at the time, and I didn't have all my shipping materials that I have now. So it was like whatever big box I could find. And his assistant was like, it was like, I think for car parts maybe. And so I get a call from his assistant that was like, yeah, we received your car parts and we didn't order any. And I'm like, what? And he's like, I work for an actor, a very famous one, and you sent a muffler and we didn't order it. We don't want it. Like, what are you talking about? Like, who do you work for? What's the name? He's like, David Arquette. I'm like, oh, that's his painting he requested from me. That was just the box. I'm like, you didn't open it? He's like, no. But last I heard, he's got it hanging up in his living room.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
He's one of those champions. I mean, you, of course, everybody back when he won the championship was like, what is going on?
Right.
But, I mean, he has grown so much within the wrestling business. I mean, just the last couple of years, he did that tour. He was, you know, doing the independents. I mean, he's really passionate about wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, you even hear the stories when he was doing the brief run with WCW. He was, you know, like picking up the bar tab for everyone. And mm-hmm. That crew back then, cool. Ric Flair was there, man. But for David, especially at that point in his career, that was dropping the bucket. You know, that was nothing for him. I've heard like the money that he made from that run in WCW, he donated to Kurt Hennig's family.
Oh,
he didn't even take it. Yeah, like quality dude.
That's amazing. I haven't yet met him, but I mean, he's on my bucket list of people that I just want to sit and talk to and pick his brain. just of everything he's ever done. I mean, I'm also a huge Scream fanatic. I don't like a lot of horror movies, but I do love Scream.
Right. Yeah, he's great in those.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, out of everything that you've done, who is the favoritest? Favoritest isn't really good. Who's your most favorite painting that you've done? Maybe not necessarily your favorite person, but the favorite painting that you've done.
Yeah. The one that'll probably always be the dearest to my heart is a piece that I did of Ultimate Warrior with Connor the Crusher. And it was when they announced that Connor was getting the first Warrior Award, I reached out to WWE and was like, hey, can I do this painting and surprise the family with it backstage? Like, I just want this genuine human moment, right? Mm-hmm. And because I had become friendly with Steve, Connor's father, over that year, and I had hand-painted Warrior's coat that he wore in his final appearance. Mm-hmm. So it was very meaningful to me to just do this thing for this family. And so that one, after Steve went out and did this just amazingly real and emotional speech at the Hall of Fame, backstage they do like these, you know, post interviews with the people. So they had me hiding behind the curtain with the painting. And I had actually been sitting with Steve earlier, like hiding the painting from him. He's like, oh, you're here. And like, I was helping put him at ease because he's just a civilian. You know, yeah. And again, Schwarzenegger was there. it was a big thing. So I come out, give the painting to him and Jackson, Connor's little brother. And we just talk and have this very real moment. And, the lights are on, the camera's there. I didn't care, right? I was there for the family. Right. So they turn off the lights, and standing there are Vince, Steph, and Triple H. And Steph, of course, being who she is, gives me a big hug. Triple H shakes my hand, and Vince gave me a nod. And that's the only in-person interaction I've had with Vince, and that's enough. I've been told he likes the stuff. That's good enough. Otherwise, when I'm at shows, I don't want to interrupt him or anything. You know, he's making his art.
Yeah.
So I stay out of the way. But in that moment, like, I'm glad I didn't know they were there.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would have been in my head. Yeah. Instead, I got to just, you know, focus on the family and you know, do the special thing for them that I know Steve still has that painting in his bedroom. And I don't think I'll ever do anything that'll mean more to me on a personal level than that one.
I think that's just beautiful. And I'm sure that Steve, I'm sure he was in absolute tears at that moment, because I can only imagine the feelings of being at the Hall of Fame and accepting an award on behalf of his son, and then you, a personal friend of his, coming out and giving him this, well, not coming out on stage, but being there backstage to hand him this personalized, you know, painting that you had done. I'm sure that the emotions were just running crazy at that moment.
Yeah. My wife, like, totally messed up her makeup. She was crying so hard, and then she was embarrassed that, like, again, like, because she sees the, you know, those three are standing there watching, mm-hmm. but also, like, this whole thing, and she's like, oh, God, Rob, don't introduce me to them right now, you know?
But that's so beautiful, like I said, like, to have that moment to be able to share, especially with somebody that you had gotten to know over the past year, like you said. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That definitely, even while you were telling that story, I was like, don't cry. Like, I cry at everything. I mean, my husband will tell everybody that.
Yeah, again, that was one of those moments where it was all like, okay, this is why I'm here doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, have done other things like this that don't make it on camera, that people will never see the paintings except for the families for who it matters. Mm-hmm. I love that part of the job.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Like if I had a form of art that inspired other people, and you know something happens, and I could make that family happy, or you know contribute in some way to ease their pain that they're going through, that would be amazing.
It's the purest part of what I do.
That's beautiful. So, but I mean, also something else that I researched about you that I found interesting is you are the Mother Teresa Award. Your art is, can you explain that? Because like I was trying to read up on it and I wasn't understanding all of it, but I mean, we're talking about good deeds and obviously Mother Teresa.
Yeah. I don't know how, much that was used, but there was definitely a year where like the plaque that was given to the Mother Teresa International Peace Prize, I think it's called, like the plaque had a painting that I did on it. Pretty neat.
That is neat. Your painting was an award. I mean, that's pretty outstanding, I would think. And yeah. I mean, it's Mother Teresa. I mean, you're sitting here doing professional wrestlers the majority of the time, and then you have Mother Teresa that you do. And I saw the artwork. It's on, if you look up on Google, you can find it. It's a beautiful painting of her.
Thank you. The Catholic side of my family really appreciated that one. They may not care about the wrestling stuff, but they really appreciated that one.
And another cool thing is that in 2014, you were awarded the Award of Merit by the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum. How was that?
That was a surprise. I didn't know that was coming. You know, like I'm just sitting there at the banquet and they're like, okay, now we're going to honor Rob. Like, oh, this is happening. I'm glad I have my nice jacket on. No sweat stain that night. the museum has done a lot for me to get my work out there and seen and to exhibit it there. You know, like every artist wants to say that their art is in a museum. I've got that. There was one year for the Pro Wrestling Wings annual inductions. They let me take over the whole museum. Like, wow. Everything in the museum, like every wall had my art on it. That was super rad. And yeah, just the people there have been great supporters. I think they have my physically largest painting. It's either them or 2K Games. 2K might have the actual biggest one. I think they have the second biggest one. But it's a massive mural, like a whole wall. That I did for them, and it was a mix of Olympic and pro wrestlers, and you know some that bridged both, like Danny Hodge or Lou Thesz. Really cool. Kurt Angle, of course.
Oh, of course. That's amazing. Like just the opportunities that you've been awarded by doing something that you love to do in your art. I mean, that's what other better way could you spend your life? I would imagine.
No. Yeah. I joke that I don't need to ever gamble because I've like defied every odd and hit the massive jackpot. Mm-hmm. So fortunate.
That's amazing. Rob, I want to thank you so much for being on the show and just sharing all of your stories with us and on Talking Sass. So please tell everybody where they can find you on social media and anything you have coming up that you would like to get out into the future.
Sure. On Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Rob Schamberger, and my website is schamburgerlabs.com. I have all of my WWE artwork available there, over 360 prints, over 200 original paintings, all fully licensed with WWE. And WWE Shop, WWE Auction, WWE Shop, of course, has both the prints and t-shirts with the art on it, and Canvas to Canvas every now Monday morning on WWE's YouTube channel. I joke that I'm the Bob Ross of pro wrestling, but with less hair. But you can see how I make the paintings and what my thoughts are going into each one. and coming up, mostly keeping things going with Schamburger Labs. I've got a new art that is available every week there, and as I gear up towards what phase two will be, I'll leave that secret hanging there.
Awesome. Yeah, because I know you recently teased on social media that you had a secret coming up, but I didn't find out what that secret is yet. So
not yet. It'll be revealed in March.
In March. Oh, that's still some time away, though.
It is.
That's okay.
It'll be 2021 time instead of 2020 time. I think time will be a little bit more normal next year, I'm hoping.
Anyway, Rob, you have been a delight. Thank you so much for being a part of Talking SaaS, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Once again, it is time for the one and only pro wrestling historian and author, Dan Murphy, to give us our monthly history lesson in pro wrestling. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Steph. It's very glad to be here. I was just noticing I've got the inadvertent Cleveland Browns colors going on, so that fits in with your whole motif here. So I'm very glad that I could accommodate that way. So thank you for having me.
Oh, always. You're such a delight to have on the show.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, this month I've got two quick items for you, both from January. So kind of looking back this month in history. And I thought the first one, this would be one that you would appreciate, January 28, 1937.
Ooh, that's throwing it back.
It's going back, yeah. But it's an important date. It was the date that Mildred Burke defeated Clara Mortensen to win the women's title, essentially what would become the Women's World Championship. Now, what happened is Billy Wolf, who was the women's wrestling promoter who then had married Mildred Burke, was really looking for a way to legitimize her claim as being the world champion. And after the retirement of Cora Livingston, there was another wrestler, another woman wrestler named Clara Mortensen, who had kind of become recognized as the overall generally considered women's champion. She'd won a few matches, she had some credibility, and she was extremely attractive. She was called the Eternal Woman, and she was just very pretty, got a lot of attention, and was really seen as the women's champion. Billy Wolf contacted her, had Mildred Burke already, and contacted her promoter out in Alabama, said, listen, I think this match can draw. I think that if you put Mildred against Clara, it's going to be the biggest house that you've seen all year, and if it's not, you don't have to pay them. So the promoter said, okay, let's do this. And it ended up being the biggest house of the year. So this match went on tour, went on the circuit. And then on January 28th, 1937, they had Mildred Burke go over Clara Mortensen and officially win the championship. Now, what made that kind of notable is because of the rivalry that this had built up and traveling around, it was picked up by all the wire services and all the newspapers. You had two very attractive women in the Great Depression, you know, wrestling for a championship with Mildred Burke winning. And it was covered in newspapers all around the country with their photos next to it. So it was huge play. It was the most attention that a women's championship had ever gotten before. And 2 weeks later, the two of them had a rematch. And the rematch, again, this is during the height of the Great Depression when entertainment dollars are few and far between. They had a turnaway crowd, 2,500 people, and then another 500 people turned away at the door, which for a women's match, a women's championship match, was absolutely unheard of. But it really shows how big the star power was of Mildred Burke. And Mildred Burke would really be, along with Moolah, the two most influential and important women wrestlers of the first half of the 20th century. So she had her first step to becoming the overall women's champion and really getting national acclaim on January 28th, 1937.
And I think that's important, too, because I don't know if people who don't know a lot about women's wrestling would even know of Mildred Burke. I mean, of course, Moolah is the one that everybody recognizes, and then probably Mae Young as, you know, two of the oldest pioneers in women's professional wrestling. So to come out and talk about Mildred Burke, I think that's amazing because, like I said, I don't think a lot of people would really recognize that name at all.
Mildred Burke through the 30s and 40s and 50s was far more famous and far more well-known than the Fabulous Moolah. Moolah has the benefit of her relationship with McMahon's and into all the way up to the Attitude Era, obviously, when she was on TV every week, so she's more well-known. But during the time, Mildred Burke was a absolute superstar, a celebrity of the first class, and she really did a huge deal to put pro wrestling, women's pro wrestling, on the map. More so, really, than Moolah did.
Oh, I 100% agree. It's just like you said, because she has that notoriety and everything with the McMahons. Obviously, the mainstream wrestling fan would know more of her than maybe even ever hearing of Mildred Burke.
Absolutely, and that's a great thing. Anyone who wants to find out more about Mildred Burke, Google her, look her up on YouTube. She was extremely ahead of her time, in fantastic shape, and really an underrated and an underknown wrestler that every wrestling fan should know.
I agree.
And the second item, it's a lot more recent. So I thought one older item, one newer item. Goes back to January 24th, 1999. Okay. So do you think any ideas, any guesses to put you on the spot?
Oh, well, 99 would be the end of WCW. No, Attitude Era, obviously, but...
Attitude Era and Royal Rumble.
Right.
And that would be the 1999 Royal Rumble, where the 30th participant was China. China made history as the first woman to compete at a WWF, WWE Royal Rumble. She had the number 30 spot. She'd won it 2 weeks earlier in a Battle Royal, Corporation versus DX Royal Rumble style match. She won that by eliminating Vince McMahon. She got the 30th spot in the Rumble, came in to a huge pop, huge ovation, went right after Mark Henry, who had made advances to her in storyline, and tossed Mark Henry out of the ring, but then was immediately tossed out by Stone Cold Steve Austin. So she was only in there for 15 seconds, but she came in, she eliminated Mark Henry, got a huge pop, and made history for being the first female to ever compete in a Royal Rumble.
China, when I met her, it was at a convention. I think it was in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure. But, like, the sweetest soul in the world. And, like, I just wish I could have met her more in her prime, because that woman was an icon within wrestling. And I hope one day WWE can put her in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that she had a real rough road. She had to really fight to be treated as an equal. Everyone talks about the women's revolution and everything else, and how hard the women had to struggle in 2015, 2016, 2017 to be treated, you know, as credible athletes and so on. But imagine 20 years earlier, China was doing the same thing and trying to compete alongside and with the guys. And that was during a mentality where no guy was going to sell for a woman at all. And China still managed to get over and make it look fairly credible.
Oh, she was magnificent. Like, I loved watching her back in the day, and to see her transformation from being Shawn Michaels and Triple H's basically bodyguards, becoming this badass woman with inside the ring that was battling the men. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And seeing her throw Mark Henry out of the ring in the Rumble, that was, one of the highlights, I think, for her.
That's got to be up there on the top moments of China's history in the WWE ever. I mean, the first woman in the Royal Rumble, of course.
That's it.
All right, Dan, I appreciate it so much. I love these history lessons. And
I'm glad you do. Yeah, and remember.
Oh, yes, of course.
I just say, if you want to read more, you can always read my book, Sisterhood of the Squared Circle, The Complete History of Women's Pro Wrestling. And there's also, it's not a wrestling thing, but my novel that just came out recently. It's available on Amazon, The Thing in the River. Feel free to check it out. If you like what you heard, you want to hear more, check them out, and you'll be glad that you did.
Absolutely. Those are both available on Amazon or at your local books. Well, is The Thing in the Water available in bookstores yet?
That is only on Amazon. I'm trying to make that an Amazon exclusive. Yeah. But the Sisterhood of the Squared Circle is available anywhere that you can find books.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you again, Dan Murphy, for the history lesson of the month. And I can't wait to see what you have for February.
Sounds good. Happy New Year, Steph.
Same to you, Dan. Thanks.
This is the Slickster, the Doctor of Style, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Haku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Cam Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airline cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have
cried? Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Dylan, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cotney, Mark Vitez, Dan Calchico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
On Wrestling with Problems, we deal with two things, wrestling and problems. On the wrestling side, we cover the major feds as well as the indies. As far as problems go, we cover our problems, American problems, and world problems. Sometimes the problems are even related to wrestling. Every week, comedian King David Lane and wrestler, promoter Chris Press discuss the best and especially the worst in the world of wrestling with a heaping dose of comedy. Check us out live on VLCNation.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.